Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey guys, welcome back to What We Said podcast. It's Tuesday. I hope you're having a great day. I hope you woke up with a fabulous mindset today.
I know I did.
Sometimes you don't, and sometimes you do. And the days that you do, that's a treasure.
I actually didn't. And, well, I was thinking today. I got out of bed. You know what I've been in? You know what era I've been in?
What?
Sleeping in. Mm. Which I hate.
Yeah.
I hate the way I feel, actually. Like, you'd think it's just nice. But, and maybe I said this a few weeks ago, too. But, I don't know. I'm sick of it. I've been wake. Well, what do you consider sleeping in? What do you think I mean when I say sleeping in?
Like 9, maybe.
Okay, I consider it like 8:30. Well, I set my alarm for 8 every morning.
Yeah,
and I normally would set my alarm for like 7 or 7:30, and then weirdly, just during the summer, I'm like, it's summer. You know, if I don't have anything to do, like, why can't I sleep till 8 or 8:30?
Yeah,
but then usually I just lay in bed. Which is the opposite of what I've been what I want to do mentally for like 30 minutes to an hour. So then by the time I actually get up, it's 9. And then yeah. I go, whatever. And then by the time my day gets started, it's noon. And I hate it so much.
Yeah, the day goes by so fast.
But it's completely my own problem. But the thing is, I've just been going to bed too late. And that's what happens. Once I get on this cycle, I go to bed around midnight. I wake up at 8.
Yeah. Because you don't want to sacrifice sleep.
No.
That's my problem. If I go to bed late, it's like I'm going to wake up late.
Especially if you don't have something specific you have to be at. Like,
yeah,
all of my work stuff is not time sensitive to like the morning, you know? So I use that as my justification, but I truly feel so much better. Even just when I wake up at 7 and like do a workout or something or go on a walk, I feel so much better.
I know.
I need to get back into it.
Waking up is so hard in the moment when you're so tired. Like waking up early, I mean. When it's the actual time of like, you know, 6 or something, 6:30, and you wake up and you're so tired. Like getting that moment is so hard. But I do feel like when I wake up earlier, I just get out of bed earlier because I have to, because mm-hmm. I'm so.
Like you're gonna sit there for 2 hours.
Yeah, but when you wake up a little later, you wake up a little more, you're already awake. So you kind of just lay there. You're just like, okay, like I'm awake. Like I can.
Well, you've already thrown in the towel because it's already late.
Yeah.
So you're like, whatever. I'll just
give up
here.
On life.
Yeah. Anyway, so maybe, weirdly, I feel like the fall, I feel, well, actually, that's not weird. We're going to talk about it next week, but sometimes the changing of seasons is a little bit motivating to kind of, like, change up your routine. So maybe I'll start waking up a little earlier.
I love a cold morning, honestly. Like, I know that sounds so not appealing.
Just cozy.
Yeah, but waking up and, like, going on a walk when you can put on a jacket, ugh, I love that. I hate waking up and it's hot outside. Like, I go outside and I'm sweating. I just hate that.
I feel so that.
I like waking up in the mornings, in the fall, in the winter, because you can bundle up. It's cozy.
It's true. Yeah, we're getting into that. we're getting into that season soon enough.
Yeah, I've accepted fall. I'm ready for it.
I am too. I
literally switched a couple days ago. I was like,
same.
I was so mad that people were getting, I think I even like threaded about it. I'm like, stop. Like, we were literally in the middle of July and people are excited for fall. I'm like,
I know, just we're jumping the gun. We're jumping the gun.
Yeah. But a couple days ago, I was like, okay, I'm ready for pumpkin spice. I'm ready for it all. I'm ready for boots. I'm ready for scarves.
Same. I made a TikTok about it as well. And people are like, we need something to live for. And I'm like, you know, I respect that.
Yeah. That's
sometimes true. You got to have something to look forward to. And fall is such a cozy, fun season. So I get it.
It's true. Especially if you have a lot of fun things planned for fall. I totally get that.
Mm-hmm. Also, if you live somewhere where the leaves are beautiful and it's, you know, I get it.
True.
Okay. So this might be, I don't know how relevant this will be or if a lot will have changed by the time this episode comes out, but we wanted to talk about the 8 passengers. I don't even know what to call it because
it's not even a scandal at this point. It's just like a tragedy.
Yeah. Or, I mean, literally a crime, I guess, at this point. But, okay. I remember talking to you about 8 passengers. I don't think on the podcast ever.
No.
Maybe on the podcast. Maybe a year or two ago.
Yeah, maybe longer than that, honestly.
I was wondering, how much do you know about them in the situation? Because I can do a full dissertation right now.
Well, I remember your dissertation when you told me about it. You went into full detail. And so I would see things pop up my TikTok because obviously TikTok like knows now that I know about it. So they will like send me stuff every once in a blue moon. But I knew everything about like now when it pops up my TikTok because this has been all over TikTok, like the recent arrest. And so the things that they will bring up, like past things she's done on her channel, I already know about because you told me.
Okay, got it.
Like punishments she's done with her kids or whatnot. So I'll know. I actually feel like I know a decent amount from you. And now that I've been seeing people recapping, you know, the thing.
But, on social media.
Yeah.
So 8 Passengers was a YouTube channel. It was a family YouTube channel. I don't know all there is to know. Like, I don't know the whole backstory, but it was called 8 Passengers because it was this Mormon family of a mom and a dad and their 6 kids. So, you know, 8 of them. And they would do family vlogs and they showed a lot of just their family life. And a lot
of the mom was the main one filming all the time, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
She was the main one filming and kind of running the show, and it started going viral. I don't know if before, I'm sure it was always controversial, but like a few years ago, I remember I had heard of them because they live in Utah, and I actually kind of know mutual people around. It's just how it is in Utah.
Yeah.
Like, you all know someone who knows them, especially in the Mormon community. But on TikTok, it kind of started going viral in a bad way. Like, people would post clips of their YouTube videos and be like, just drawing attention to the parenting choices and the punishments specifically that mostly the mom, Ruby, would give her kids. The dad was also, I don't want to call him like an accomplice, but like he was also a parent and kind of in on it as well. But for some examples, like she would be vlogging and, you know, the teacher from her 6-year-old kid's school would call. Did you see that one?
Mm-mm.
And was like, hey, your daughter forgot her lunch today or doesn't have a lunch today. Could you bring one to the school? She's hungry. And Ruby basically says, like, I told her, well, nope, that was her responsibility to pack her lunch. So that's the natural consequence. If you didn't pack it, you don't get a lunch today. And then her going even further and saying, I hope, to the camera, I hope no one gives her food at school. I hope no one gives her snack. Her teacher better not give her any food because this is what she deserves. She needs to know. If you don't pack your lunch, you don't get a lunch. And it's like, okay.
She's like in first grade.
Yes, she's 6. Another one is, she's like, I think it's the same daughter. Maybe it's a different one. She's like, oh, she's notorious for sleeping in for preschool. She's 4.
Oh,
she's notorious for sleeping in, so I decided today I'm not going to wake her up because she's always grumpy when I wake her up. So I'm not going to wake her up or whatever. And then she's like getting ready. Her older sister's like helping her get ready for preschool. And she's like, yep, I told her like you slept in today and you missed preschool. Congrats. Like, that's what you get. And
that's so sad.
And the older sister's like, well, she can't really control when she wakes up.
Literally.
And she's four. She's four.
No. A toddler.
A toddler.
Literally. She's not a freaking teenager.
She's not
even
17 years old.
She can't even set an alarm.
No. It's like, and that's kind of the thing I was gathering. Well, and I guess anyone is gathering from all of this stuff is that she treats her kids as though they are legitimately supposed to already be grown adults.
Yeah.
By the time they're like two. There was another story she told, and she is the one telling all these stories
and
talking
about it.
Yeah, she's
so proud of it.
And showing them on her YouTube channel. It's not hearsay or something. Another thing she was telling is her three-year-old. Oh, she left two of her kids on the couch to watch a movie while she went and took a nap. And she told them under no, this is what she's relaying to the camera. She's like, I told them under no circumstance do you get up off that couch. You stay on that couch while I'm taking a nap. You don't go to the pantry and get food. You stay on the couch. And she's like, then I came back down an hour later. They were still on the couch. Like, I was like, okay, good. They did what they were told. She's like, and then I walked into the kitchen. And what did I feel? Something sticky on my feet. So I knew that like someone had gotten some type of food out and like spilled it or something. So then she's like, I gave them the opportunity to be honest. Keep in mind, they're three. Oh. One of them is three or four, she said. She's like, I don't remember. He's three or four. She's like recounting this story. So she's like, I got down on the floor and it was pineapple juice. So I said, who had pineapple or whatever? And they're both like, no, we didn't. Like lying because they're terrified of her.
Oh.
And then she's like, I finally got it out of him, the three-year-old, that he went and got some pineapple out of the fridge because he was hungry. But he tried to clean it up with a paper towel. And she's like, well, anyone knows that a paper towel alone doesn't clean up pineapple juice. Anyone knows. He's three.
He's literally three. He doesn't know how to tie his shoe.
Literally a year older than Case in a few months.
No, everyone knows.
What do you
mean? What is missing in her brain?
And there are just countless stories like that. I mean, I could go on and on and telling you. Like, there's
the. I feel like the most viral one is when she made her son sleep on no bed for like seven months for like a little harmless prank that he pulled on his brother.
Yeah.
That is insane.
That's the most famous one. And one other like really weird element is that she says,
you would think by these punishments that she gives her kids that they are the worst kids ever and they are doing drugs and selling like just on the black market.
Yeah.
Like she cannot control them, but they're just literally regular kids. It's so sad.
I know. And her other theory just in life in general is like kids deserve, this is something she says. She says, as a parent, it is your job to constantly criticize your kids. Constantly. I don't want to say word for word, but like.
Criticize.
She's like, constantly tell them what they need to be doing better and just.
Oh, that's so sad.
She's like, that's what love is. And her other just like main theory in life is that basically kids deserve no privacy. They deserve.
She's sort of Miss Trenchable.
Yeah, deserve nothing. And when they're living at her house, that's her house that she's the parent. And so when they were like moving into a new house and the oldest daughter, who was like probably 16 at the time, she was like doing a Q&A for the YouTube channel. And someone asked, what are you most excited for the new house? And in the video, she's like, I'm really excited for like to have my own room. And then she like kind of stops herself and she's like, I mean, like, I'm excited to borrow the room from my mom. Because that's what they have to say. They're not allowed to say, oh, that's my room. And Ruby will freak out on them and be like, it's what? And they'll have to be like, sorry, it's your room that I'm borrowing. And she's like, yeah.
Man.
Psychotic.
They did not choose to come into this world.
No.
You brought them here.
No.
What is your problem?
So, okay.
It is literally your responsibility to give them a room. They're not borrowing a room from you.
You know what's insane? I just saw.
That's literally so, I feel so bad for those kids. Like, that is so damaging. Growing up like that, they probably have so many issues.
I know.
It's so sad.
It's so sad. And so basically that got controversial and they started getting so much hate to where people were genuinely like, that's
abusive.
Abuse. Like you're being very, this is crazy. And so they kind of stopped their YouTube channel a few years ago. And then Ruby, the mom, ended up joining this group, which, oh my gosh, it like kind of freaks me out. It's like chilling, honestly, to think about this. So they sent their son to like one of those wilderness camps. They took his bed away, all this stuff, because Because of also the most like minor things ever.
Didn't they
like,
make him quit football?
Yeah. He like loved football. They're like, okay, you have to quit then because you don't get to do things you love because you've basically disobeyed us in these certain ways. And I can't even remember
again,
what they are.
And again, I remember them not being anything crazy. Like, no. It's not like he was, again, sneaking out, doing things that are dangerous. Like, I think they were so minute.
Oh,
like,
so minute. He was genuinely like, I'm putting this in air quotes, but like a good Mormon boy.
Yeah.
Like doing nothing, just, I don't know what the things are.
Maybe just didn't wake up
for.
On time and like read a scripture or something.
Just crazy. And so anyway, they got him a therapist who is, now we know, Jody.
Oh, really?
The other one who got arrested.
The scariest
of all. So that was her, his therapist for a while.
At the wilderness camp?
No. Like in the same time frame. They're like, okay, you go to wilderness camp. We need to get you therapy. And this therapist is part...
because he has depression because of you.
I know. Is part of this group called Connections. And I don't know if she... I believe she might have created Connections. But it's basically like a counseling, parenting group. Like she's a therapist and she has this service and this community called Connections. She had like a podcast and she would go on Facebook Live and do coaching and whatever. It's kind of like a life coach. I don't know what the situation was.
Like for parenting.
For parenting mostly though, yeah. And the whole, and it's very specific of like, there's truth. Their whole thing is there's truth and distortion. You have to live in truth. That's just like the constant thing. So you hear that verbiage a lot in the YouTube videos, like in the later YouTube videos, kind of the ending ones before they ended off. It's like, you know, and if your kid is doing this, they're not living in truth. So they need to be whatever. And she would ask Chad, like, what'd you learn in therapy? And he's like, these thoughts are distortion and these thoughts are truth. I need to always live in truth. Like, it's kind of like, okay, weird. So
distortion.
So Ruby starts getting even more heavily involved in the Connections group with Jody. Jody's the therapist who started it, I believe. And they start like kind of teaming up and doing it together, like doing these Facebook Lives and like doing these parenting courses and like charging people like for like healing and whatever else.
Gosh.
And it was a rumor and I have no idea that Ruby and the husband, they ended up like separating. I don't know if they're divorced or what the situation is, but basically Ruby and Jody ended up getting super close. They're both like, I think Jody might be in her 60s, like early 60s, Ruby's in her late 40s or something. And they start, it starts to become a thing where people are like, wait, now you're almost like bringing religion into it. And it's like getting cultish.
Yeah.
Like the way you're speaking is not anymore like, you know, oh, we're helping you to become a better parent. It's like, are you living in truth?
Yeah.
You need to always be, it's just very, the verbiage, everything is, it's kind of creepy
it's
from
giving
an outside.
Cult.
It is giving majorly cult. And so that started going crazy. Anyway, they've kind of been quiet as far as YouTube goes. They like wiped their YouTube channel. Ruby claimed recently, she's like, I was making millions off my YouTube channel, but I stopped because I wanted to protect my kids because they're getting like, but the irony is she's like, because people are saying things online and it's not in truth. Like they need to know what the truth is distortion. Anyway, I am so sorry I've been talking about this for so long, but basically now Ruby and Jody, the two women, were arrested.
Yeah.
And it is so much worse than I think anyone could have ever imagined. Like, you know, when I saw that, I was like, oh, wow. Like, I knew she was, I don't want to say crazy, but kind of.
Like, her parenting was very questionable.
Yes, it was very intense. But I didn't know if it warranted getting arrested.
Where it's
like
you have evidence and you're going to arrest them, yeah.
Exactly. Like, I wasn't sure if that would ever be the case. So it comes out that basically... there's three or four kids left at home. I think four kids of Ruby's left at home and they were living or staying with Jody, the girl.
That's freaking
weird. The other girl. And Ruby. Like Ruby and Jody are essentially living together, business partners now, everything. Yes, there are rumors.
Yeah.
And I literally do believe them.
Yeah.
But anyway, the boy who's 12 years old at this point, Ruby's oldest, or not oldest son, the youngest son, but he's the oldest one who's, sorry. Ruby's younger son, but he's the only boy that's living at home, supposedly, as the police reports state, climbed out of a window, out of Jody's window where they were staying, and went to a neighbor's house to beg for food and water.
It's so sad.
Because they were so starving.
And they said he was like malnourished, like very obviously like emaciated.
Yes. And they said he had duct tape on his hands and feet.
Oh and my gosh.
Wounds on him, completely emaciated and malnourished, which doesn't happen overnight, by the way. That happens over a long time. And the everything was so bad that they had to take him to the hospital. They were like very worried. And so that gave them enough evidence to essentially go and search the house. They found the other kids. They found other consistent like
duct tape stuff.
Duct tape and wounds and things like that.
I think they took another kid to the hospital too who was like very malnourished.
Yeah, I think so too. And now they were able to arrest them.
So sad. That it's literally so breaks my heart. Like horrifying. Little kids. I will never understand. It's very similar to like the Turpin thing.
No, you know what I was going to say? It is weirdly a combination of the two stories we read on our true crime like episode. Because it's giving Lori Vallow in the way that she's
like joined this culty thing. Yeah.
Joined this culty thing, literally thinks that she is correct and she is essentially God at this point. Like I know what the truth is and making everyone live like that. And then it's a lot like the Turpin situation where it's like they're literally taping their kids up.
Locking them up
and not feeding them.
No, what is
what is happening?
No, that is so disgusting. It makes me so sad. I just feel like so sad for those kids. I saw the daughter, the oldest daughter. And this is how you know. It's not just like, oh, the kids are still on the parents' side. The oldest daughter literally posted on her Instagram story.
She doesn't live with them. She's
she's out of 18, the house.
I think she's 20 now.
I don't think she talks to her parents at all
anymore. No, she doesn't.
She posted a video or a photo of like the police. And outside of her family's house and was like, finally, on her Instagram story. And then the next one was like, basically, the kids are safe for now. Like, keep praying for us and like help us keep our privacy or something like that. But like, I'm so happy this finally happened.
Yeah. Basically. She's like, we've been trying to tell the police and CPS about this for years. And we're so happy that they finally did something about it. And then her next slide was talking about like, she's like, I need your help. Please send any videos, any clips you guys have. Because the YouTube channel's been wiped.
Yeah.
But luckily, people
have
screen recorded so much. So there's so much evidence of her literally saying crazy things that like, anyway, so basically admitting.
A video confession.
Yeah. There's so much incriminating stuff even on her personal like connections page of them talking.
I saw one that was like, her daughter wasn't eating, basically had an eating disorder. And she was like, she's lying to you. Like if
she was giving advice.
Like, if your kid has problems eating and like says that they don't want to eat, basically, if your kid has an eating disorder, that's not exactly what she said, but paraphrasing, then that's them trying to lie and scheme their way. And you can't basically don't believe them. And
you're a fool if you believe them.
Yes, you're a fool. And I just want to know what parents are also watching these lives and seeing like, oh, yeah, you're right. Because it starts to like brainwash them into having no empathy for their own children. It's so disgusting.
It's completely devoid of any empathy.
They don't understand anything.
No, especially when they're little. Like, oh, my gosh. And that's what this one girl I saw, she's making a video. She's like, why is no one talking about they are spreading? There's a whole community of people who are intaking this information and are brainwashed by it. Like, thank goodness they both got arrested and now they can't do it anymore. It's like, gosh, all the parents who are listening to that and genuinely,
probably were fine parents before then start listening. Like, yeah, you're right. I need to be living in truth. And their kid who has normal issues as one does going through puberty, growing up. Now their parents are like, oh, nope, you're lying to me. You're trying to scheme your way. It's like, what kid is trying to do that?
Oh my gosh. There was this one video of them. This is where I literally lost my mind. I could not. Speaking of the responsibility thing and genuinely how they believe you should be responsible for your actions as like a tiny child. They're talking about how when you take your first breath as a newborn.
Oh, no.
You are now responsible for your own actions because you were hooked up. The second the umbilical cord is cut. You're on your own. She literally says that. She is like,
stop.
She's like, now you're on your own. That was it. Your mom was responsible for you. Now that's it. You're responsible for yourself. A newborn. Are you aware that if you don't care for them?
Science does not agree with you at all.
No. It's so twisted.
What would happen if you just left that child alone?
Yeah.
It would die, you dummy. Like, are you stupid?
No, that's what I'm telling you. It's like maddening.
Oh my God.
It's maddening.
Even in nature, no. They don't leave their young alone. They're not just like, off you go.
No.
Oh my
She's like,
gosh.
You're a baby bird now. I'm like, baby birds need their mom to feed them.
They stay in the nest while the mother comes back and feeds them. Oh my gosh. And also, you're human. You're different than a bird.
No, it is wild. Like, the things that they say
It's really scary.
It's terrifying.
It's just so, I just feel so, so bad for those kids. Like, I really do. It's just so sad when kids, like, they just get the word, they just got their childhood taken away from them with, like, overly strict parents where they were not doing anything wrong. And now they're probably going to have these issues for the rest of their life feeling like they're never good enough.
I know.
When they were total, like, perfectly good kids.
No, it makes me so just feeling infuriated. So incapable. And I heard a clip, which I'm so proud of the oldest daughter for, like, breaking away and being like, I'm not going to talk to you guys. This is really crazy. Like, she was saying the beliefs of connections, quote unquote, are very extreme and she doesn't agree with them and whatever, which is brave. Like, it's very brave of her.
Yeah.
I was listening to a clip, though, of her talking. She was on some podcast or something being interviewed and it still broke my heart because I can hear in her voice, like, she would say stuff about just growing up with the camera in her face and being on this family vlog channel and stuff. And she'd be like, but I probably, she would kind of not like protect her parents, but say something and be like, but I probably brought that on by myself. Like, that was my, And I'm like, no, girl, do not take blame for any of this. This is not your fault.
She's been gaslit into thinking her childhood was normal.
Yes.
And like that her parents really have her best interest in heart when they don't.
No, they don't.
They don't. They have no empathy. They have no, like, they don't have that anymore. It's gone.
No, I seriously could go on and on with the clips I've seen
atrocities.
Of just like shocking things that they've said on YouTube, on the connections page. Like, it is unreal. But truly, I'm just so happy that justice is being served. And
seriously.
Like, I can't believe it took this, like literally a kid climbing out of a window, just like the Turpin case.
Yeah.
Like, it's so horrifying.
To the point, where you have a child get to a point of survival instincts where they have to escape and go get help.
And they're probably terrified.
Yes, that you, in order for a child to get to that point, to disobey their parents to a point where they will go ask a neighbor for help against their own family, like, that's how you know how bad it is. Because even when you're like, yeah, my parents are strict, you're not going to your neighbor's, like, because you're scared of your parents. But when you get to a point where your instincts literally kick in, like, I'm going to die if I don't get help.
Like, you have
no choice. Yeah.
It's so sad because people are being like, no, not him. Like, he was always the one who had like anxiety and was like super the kid who escaped.
Don't make me cry.
I know. I'm like, I'm going to sob. But also, it's like very brave of him.
Ugh. I'm so sad.
I know. I just cannot believe this whole situation. Anyway, whew. Hopefully, I don't know. Again, I don't know what else will have come out by the time this goes up. So maybe this is all old news and we have new developments. But I'm just hoping that she gets what's coming to her. Like, she needs to go to jail.
Yes.
And I saw some things that said, like, if she gets convicted, she'll be in prison for 15 years minimum.
Oh,
and
good.
I'm like, good, as you should.
Yeah.
I really hope that I don't see her getting out of it. How's she going to get out of it? But she deserves what's coming to her.
For sure. Did the husband get arrested? Like, where's the husband?
I don't think so. No. I think they separated and I don't know what his involvement is. But I think it does say something that, like, the oldest daughter does not speak to either of them.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm like, okay, he can't be.
No, he's too definitely
great.
Not perfect. Because if he was a good parent, he would have intervened when the wife was doing all the crazy stuff in the first place.
For sure. So yeah, I'm very, very curious about that. I'm not sure, but
sheesh.
I know.
Terrifying.
Really, really sad. Hoping everything just continues to go in a good direction.
Yeah.
And hope those kids are able to. I know they have a lot of family, like extended family that love and care for them. So that will hopefully, you know, they can be with their aunts and their uncles and
their
cousins
healing,
and
yeah.
start healing because it's so heartbreaking.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, should we get into these questions?
Yes, we should.
We have some fun questions today.
We're going to take a break to talk about Rocket Money. I have a lot to thank Rocket Money for, especially because I found out through Rocket Money, the app, that I was paying for a Hulu subscription twice a month. And I'm talking about the premium one, okay? So it wasn't just the $11 ads one. It was expensive every month and coming out of my pocket. And I didn't even realize it until I got Rocket Money. And it has literally opened my eyes to so many subscriptions that I've been paying for that I forgot that I had. There are subscriptions for everything these days, I swear. Sometimes I'll sign up for something that I want to use once and then I look at it 12 months later and I've been paying for it for a year and I didn't even realize it was a subscription. You know, they have streaming services, fitness programs, and sometimes it feels impossible to just keep tabs on everything that you're paying for every month. And that's why we're huge fans of Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place.
With Rocket Money, you can easily cancel the ones you don't want with just the press of a button, so no more long hold times or annoying emails with customer service. Rocket Money does all the work for you. Rocket Money can even negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%, and all you have to do is take a picture of your bill, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. This is best case scenario because they literally do all the heavy lifting for you. Rocket Money also lets you monitor all your expenses in one place, recommends custom budgets based on your past spending, and they'll even send you notifications when you've reached your spending limits. With over 3 million users and counting, Rocket Money customers have saved an average of $720 a year. So stop wasting money on things you don't use, cancel your unwanted subscriptions, and manage your money the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/whatwesaid. That's rocketmoney.com/whatwesaid, rocketmoney.com/whatwesaid. All right, we're taking a quick ad break for Tinder. This is for all our girls and guys, if you're listening out there, who are in their dating era and you want to go on dates, you want to meet the one, or maybe you just want to meet someone to go on a date with. You know, we don't have to get too serious, but you can if you want. Tinder is the world's most popular dating app. So many possibilities really are just a match away. When I was a wedding photographer, I can't tell you how many weddings I shot where the bride and groom met via a dating app. So I know that it can really work. On Tinder, you have the most opportunities to find whatever it is you're looking for. And Tinder has its latest feature called Relationship Goals, which is you basically are able to set your status on your profile to show others what type of connections you're looking for, and you can see what others are looking for, so there's no more guessing, and you can really get, you know, aligned on just what you're looking for, whether it is serious or not, then the other person knows your expectations and vice versa.
Tinder has features like block contact or block profile, which allows you to block profiles even before you match with them. So if you get a bad vibe, you don't have to wait until they say something inappropriate or you don't want to come across them again. They also have video chats so you can meet your match before meeting in real life, which is really great because then you for sure know you're not getting catfished. And if they say that their camera is broken, know that they're lying. Tinder wants you to feel comfortable. 1.5 million Tinder users go on in real life dates every week. Other apps are hard. Tinder is easy and fun.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Tinder, it starts with a swipe. Download Tinder today. Again, that's Tinder. If you'd grown up in a different environment, do you think you'd have turned out the same? Wow, what a segue. I mean, this is a real throwback to nature versus nurture, isn't it? You're trying to make us go back to our second episode.
Go back to our roots.
When we ask the age-old question, is it nature or is it nurture? And I think I would honestly be like half the same and half not. I think I'd be very different, obviously very different. But if you're saying I have the same genetics and everything, yeah, I think I'd be a little bit the same.
Yeah, I think it's impossible to grow up in a completely different environment and be the same. Your environment, even if it's not the only thing that impacts you, it definitely impacts you.
Yeah, it's where you learn things.
That is actually so interesting to think about. Like if you grew up, same parents, same siblings, obviously, like they had the same amount of kids, but you guys grew up in like the south of France.
Yeah. Insane. You know? Yeah.
It's actually so bizarre to think about because the community you're around, the culture you're around, where you live does impact a lot.
Mm-hmm. I think some of the things that I've had ever since I was like little, I would still have like inside of me, like the inner child would kind of be similar. But I think a lot of the way that my humor would probably be way different. The way that I thought about the world would be way different. So many things.
That kind of freaks me out.
I know.
Thinking about an alternate reality where it's like I have the same parents and family, just in a completely different place.
Yeah. With different people around us. Yeah.
So crazy. That is actually wild. Do you like your name? Is there another name that you think would fit you better?
Mercedes.
Yeah.
For you, not for me.
I do like my name. Even though everyone calls me Jackie everywhere I go, I can't really picture having a different name. I think my name fits me and I feel connected to it.
Can you think of one name you think would fit you even better than JC?
No. I mean, I haven't given it much thought, but
I'm trying to think.
Just someone just becomes their name and it's impossible to, you know, once you've known yourself with the same name for
forever,
over 20 years, it's like, I can't think of anything that would connect as well.
I know. It is so true. Sometimes I forget what my name is, though. You know, like when you really think about my name, out of all of the millions of people that live on this earth and all of the millions of names I could have had, this is my name.
Yeah.
You ever think about that? It's kind of like when you look at a word for a long time and it doesn't become a word anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, this is my name. Like, I am this to other people. I am Chelsea to other people.
Yeah, no, it is. It's weird.
It's weird. I like my name. I definitely, when I was younger, I think I knew a lot of other girls with my name. So I was feeling like, dang, I wish I had more of a unique name. But yeah, I mean, now I just feel like it matches me. But I also changed my name when I was 20 to Jade because I felt like that matched like a part of me as well. I don't know if it necessarily fit me better. I felt like it fit like a certain part of me better, like a certain, I don't know, inner part of me. But as a whole, when I like even changed my Instagram name back to, because for a while on Instagram, my name was Jade Demir on Instagram. That was my name. Like, that's what people literally thought my name was. They would be like, Jade, like, blah, blah. Which is so weird now because I like forget about that. My friends in Utah used to call me Jade.
That
no
was
one
an
called
era.
Me Chelsea. Yeah. And even when I changed my name after I got married back to like Chelsea Jade Curtis, like I just kept Jade because I felt like that did. It was just kind of like a little piece of me that I created for myself. I felt like that I could kind of like take. But I also was kind of missing my name. I'm like, my name is just my name. It just fits me.
Yeah.
Like I just am a Chelsea.
It just is what it is.
Yeah.
When you're born with a name.
Yeah.
I do think, and maybe it's because I picture it as your middle name and you did change your name. Like Jade, I do feel like does fit you.
Yeah, for sure.
It fits your vibe.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I don't feel like it maybe because like you grow up with your name, so you feel like it's there with you to collect all the parts of you. Like I feel like Chelsea is just like a well-rounded, it encaps, like, I don't know, just, what is the word I'm looking for?
Encompasses?
Yeah, encompasses every part of me.
That makes sense. I'm trying to think of a different name that I would have, and I simply can't. Like any name that I like that's a girl, you know, it's like, okay, that's potentially a baby name. I'm not going to give it away.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't necessarily picture me with that name. I'm just thinking of like names I like.
Yeah. When you come up with baby names, I feel like as every girl does since the age of 12, like you have a list of baby names, you're picking those names because you like them and you would want to be named those names as well. So
exactly.
There are a lot of names, you know, I would be down with, but I'm not telling you guys. Could you live as a hermit? AKA what I already do most of the time.
A hermit crab?
A hermit that actually like lives up in the mountains by themselves?
Absolutely not.
No, I would go crazy.
I'd go insane.
I think at a certain time in my life, I would have thought that I would have liked that when I was a teenager, maybe like, you know, in my, as most of us do, going through our like brooding era. I would have been like, yeah, I would have loved to just be by myself. I love being by myself. But now that I'm older, I really don't. I can be by myself, but I'm like, why wouldn't I want to be with other people?
You know what my recent discovery or thought has been is like, and maybe this is just common, I'm not sure, but lately I have no desire. Like, I can't get the urge to be like, I should plan something. Like, I want to go do this with people. But then if and when I do, and a lot of times I'm kind of dreading like, oh, I have this planned with other people. I'm like kind of dreading it. And then every time after, I'm like, I'm so happy I did that. I feel so much better. Mm-hmm. I feel so rejuvenated. I don't know what it is, but I've just been lacking the motivation to be very social lately. But also, when I'm social, I feel way better.
Yeah. Like,
the worst that I ever feel is when I'm inside doing work on my computer all day.
Yes.
And I like go outside for one walk or something. I'm like, that was the worst day. Like, yeah. I do not feel full, fulfilled, happy. And it's not like I have to be hanging out with friends 24/7, but just like going
being surrounded
out and about.
By people.
Yes. Like, even just in the neighborhood, at a restaurant, anything. It's like, I think I really need
yeah.
that.
Yeah. There's something comforting, even, yeah, just being around people. You don't have to even talk to them or go with those people, but going even going to a coffee shop and sitting there and you're not alone, like you're surrounded by other people, it's very comforting.
It is.
Feels safe.
I agree.
I think I would die if I was a hermit.
Same.
Probably because I also don't know how to make food for myself, so.
Same.
That would be short-lived.
If you have a dog, whether you just got a new puppy or you've had a dog for a while and you're looking for potentially a new brand of food, or if you don't know what to feed your dog, because sometimes you get a dog and you're like, wait, no one told me, you know, what brand or what I should be feeding them. The Farmer's Dog is such an amazing option. This is what we have fed Lady for years and years. She loves it so much. It's fresh, healthy food. It's not dry kibble that smells bad. And you can see the real ingredients in it. It comes like pre-portioned. It's super easy. It comes in these little packs. It will say like Lady's turkey recipe on it or Lady's beef recipe. And we feed her one pack a day. It's so simple. We keep them in our freezer and then just thaw them out in the fridge and they can last in the fridge for multiple days. So we'll just have a few packs in the fridge at a time and just feed her half a pack a day. It's so simple. And she gets so excited for mealtime. The Farmer's Dog delivers fresh, healthy dog food. It's developed by vets, nutritionally balanced, and made from real healthy ingredients to human food safety standards.
This is the best option for dogs of all life stages because it's not kibble, it's not canned goo, it's just real healthy food. Traditional dry and wet dog food options are highly processed and can use much lower quality ingredients than they claim to and are extremely difficult to portion accurately. The Farmer's Dog isn't just fresh, high-quality food. They also send the food pre-portioned specifically for your dog based on their unique nutritional needs, which helps you maintain their ideal weight. It doesn't matter if your dog is young or old. It's always the right time to begin investing in their health, helping you live more healthy, happy, and full years together. That means more magical moments with your dog, but no actual magic required. Get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/whatwesaid. Plus, you get free shipping. Just go to thefarmersdog.com/whatwesaid. Again, that's thefarmersdog.com/whatwesaid to get 50% off your first box, plus free shipping.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how hard is it to get under your skin?
Oh,
1.
It depends on the day. It depends on the week, if we're being honest.
Same.
Is it my luteal phase or is it my premenstrual phase? Because I actually think it's decently hard to actually get under my skin where it's like you're staying there under my skin. Mm-hmm. I think it's very easy to like temporarily. I'm like, oh, I want to have something to like
be annoyed about.
Be annoyed about like this person who's
walking, you know, too slow right
yeah,
in front
exactly.
of me.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, that's annoying. But I feel like for the most part, maybe this is because I'm a middle child, I'm serious. I had to maybe be a little bit of like a, I wouldn't say I'm a peacemaker in my family by any means, actually. I would say I'm like the opposite, but I feel like my first reaction is to not let things get under my skin. Like, not let other people get under my skin. And I'm like, I just like brush it off. But then when they do, it's hard to get them out.
You know what? I was going to say I'm the opposite. I feel like initially it's easy to get under my skin. Like, it's easy to annoy me for a second, but long term, not at all. Like, it,
yeah,
it's
not.
That's
what I just said.
Oh, I thought you said, but it's hard to get them out of your skin. And I
was
thinking,
I said, if somebody really, really like, if you're the person who really gets under my skin, then like, yes. But for the most part, it's, I said, if it's like something very quick and easy, yeah, you get under my skin for a second, but it's actually very hard for people to actually get under my skin.
Oh, I thought you said the opposite. Well, yeah, I think like long term, I don't let things really bother me.
Yeah.
Like for long amounts of time. It's more of like an hour, a day.
Yeah.
That I'm like, oh, this is annoying. Yeah. And then I'm like, the next day, don't even think about it anymore.
Yeah.
Just move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I'm thinking like,
do you have any really grudges from like a long time ago that you can think of? Because I feel like I don't day to day. I was reading The Untethered Soul and he was talking about like energy blocks and how when something comes up, like you might not think that you have any grudges or anything that you're holding on to energetically, even in your body. But say you see a car of like somebody that you used to know and that car triggers you for a second. And I was thinking about that and little things that will come up like from years ago. And even if it's like not
a big deal.
Yeah, a big deal. I do notice a little like block that I'm like, oh, I need to like release that because I don't know if I've ever fully like felt that and let it go. I think I always just kind of like pushed it down.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting. Like even I'm trying to think of some. Yeah.
I feel like I have a few little things, but nothing that I think about a lot day to day.
Like a chip on your shoulder.
A chip on my shoulder? Doesn't that mean you? What does a chip on your shoulder mean?
I thought it's like if somebody kind of, maybe like a long time ago, I'm thinking, doubts you or something like that. Someone says something, kind of hurts you, and then like you feel like you have something to prove.
Oh, definitely. A chip on one's shoulder, a deeply ingrained feeling of resentment. Yeah, kind of often driving from a sense of inferiority.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I do feel like, and I feel like I phase in and out of this. I've talked about this before, but I talked about this actually on the Girls Camp podcast. I was thinking that a lot of, I think, what's like fueled me in my just the personality trait, quote unquote, that I've had of being like, I go after my dreams, I'm a hard worker, all of that stuff, has been fueled by sometimes the wrong things. Like, and it is kind of people from my past, like, making fun of me a little bit or being like, why are you doing that? That's
doubting
dumb.
You.
Like,
yeah.
Doubting me. And also just from like my religious upbringing of like that not being the norm or that me not seeing a lot of girls or women who had that personality type. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost like I wanted to like be different than the like just basic community I was around. Like, okay, I want to, you know, which I'm not saying is like a good thing. If anything, I think it's like a, not attention seeking, but just like a way for me to feel unique and like validated, yeah, in something, mm-hmm, else. And yeah, I think that's where a lot of,
yeah,
it stems from. And that's like why just my whole, like the past few years I've been trying to figure out, it's like, am I someone who loves to work and is super driven? Am I this natural leader? Am I this person I've always told myself,
yeah,
I am? Or did I become that person because I wanted so badly to receive validation and for people to think, whoa, that's impressive?
Yeah. I know, it's actually freaky. We talked about this on one of our girls' nights. Like, going back to The Untethered Soul, I was talking about how in that book it's kind of trippy because he basically talks about like the whole point of Untethered Soul is that you as you are is actually none of your personality traits, not even what you look like. Like your soul, the person who's observing your life, is none of that. Like, so in a sense, you are not this like, you know, person that, oh, that's just who I am.
It's
I
like
just
learned.
Yeah, it's like everything you are is learned. Because he was saying, okay, you look in the mirror, you're like, this is me. And he's like, okay, explain to me, like, who are you? I'm Chelsea. I'm 5'4". I have brown, mm-hmm, hair. He's like, okay, well, what about when you were 2? You weren't 5'4" and you had no hair. Was that still you? It's like, okay, yeah, I guess. Okay,
like things change.
Yeah, like I'm Chelsea, I have blue eyes. Okay, what if your eyes all of a sudden turn a different color? Would you still be who you are? It's like, oh my gosh, yes. And you try and get down to the bottom of it. It's like, even if I wasn't, you know, these personality traits that I've told myself that I just am my whole life, I would still be this person looking at myself in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who is that? It's so terrifying.
It is.
I mean, the point of it is not to be terrifying. It's to be very comforting, to be like, these things that you think are holding you back are really just things you've taken on as your identity that have nothing to do with your identity, actually. And that you don't need an identity.
And they don't define you at
all.
But
a lot of people do. I would say the same thing about myself. Things that I attach to are things that I felt were different about me,
mm-hmm.
that made me special, that made me unique. And so I really paid attention to those and like emphasized those to make myself feel special.
Totally. I think maybe I'm just saying that to make myself feel better. But I was going to say, I do think that's human nature to just want validation and love and want to be in the group with people and want people to think that you're great and that they like you. It's like, it's pretty normal.
Oh,
I don't know.
He was saying like every single person does that. It's like very rare to have this awareness that like the person who's even observing your thoughts are not your thoughts. It's like this awakening that you have, which is what a lot of people, what they call like if they have, they woke up or like
spiritual awakening.
Spiritual awakening is because they all of a sudden realize like, oh, all of these things that I've attached to for my whole life, I don't have to attach to.
Totally.
But most people, 99.9% of people on earth never really experience that. That's just how life is.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how we cope and go through life and survive.
Exactly.
And there's nothing wrong with having identities as well that you nurture and things like that. That's just part of life. But he talks about the attachment to that identity, where then it starts causing you all these internal issues and you're reeling about it for days and days. And it's like, you don't have to, when it's, you can just kind of look at it almost as a game, something to utilize.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very interesting book.
Yeah, I actually haven't read it, I don't think. I need to. I've been having a lot of existential, like, just
thoughts
and like, not
really
dread, but like, yeah, I feel like,
honestly, then you should read this book, because
really?
I was having I was having the worst existential anxiety. And every night when I would read this book, it made me feel so calm, and not in a way, it doesn't like reassure you. Like, no, you do know the answer.
It's almost
to the
opposite.
Universe. It's the opposite. Yeah. The last, I've been having so much anxiety about like, yeah, just existential things. What happens after we die? Like, just a lot of, how do we know about the universe? What, you know, all of these people, just when you start thinking, everyone knows what kind of thoughts we're talking about, but just questions. And I,
do you know what though? When you said everyone knows what we're talking about, like, I actually don't think I knew about existential.
Really?
Like, when people be like, oh, I have like an existential crisis, I'm feeling existential dread, I'd be like, oh yeah, I know what you mean. And like recently I'm like, oh no, I think I get what you're saying now. Like, I don't think I've ever felt the feelings that I've been feeling recently of like, oh wow, I don't know anything about what happens. And like, I have so much, like you're talking about energy blocks. I feel like I truly have a lot of energy blocks, probably, I'm assuming, surrounding religion and like my upbringing.
Yeah.
And
which religion is existential stuff.
Right. And just existential things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been thinking about that, because even in recent episodes, I feel like I haven't really said that, but I've been talking about a few different things come to mind. One, when we were talking about how like, oh, you know, is your wedding day going to be the best day of your life? And then we were chatting about like, oh, was our wedding day the best day of our lives? And I was like, I don't know if it was. And you were like, oh, mine was. And I was like, okay, I think mine was. And then I was like reflecting. I'm like, why would it not be the best day of my life? Like,
yeah,
Leif is the best person in the world. Like, we have a great relationship. And then I was thinking, it to me, it's because it was so religious. And I don't connect with that anymore. And I don't, like, it felt like my wedding wasn't on my actual soul's terms. Like, that's not what I would have wanted to do for my wedding. But I did it because that was the quote unquote right thing to do in my community.
That makes sense.
And so I have some like resentment about that. It's like, oh, dang, I didn't get to have like, and no, it's not like, oh, I didn't get to have this party where it's not that. It's just like my soul wasn't fully aligned that day.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't, it didn't feel connected to what I was doing. And at that the makes time, sense. And at the time it was okay. Like it, I wasn't having the thoughts I have now. So it wasn't like I was completely, but I think I definitely knew something was, like I didn't fully connect with that religious ceremony and everything I was doing. And I think I knew that, but I pushed it down.
Yeah, and if you knew, especially if, I feel like if you did know it that day, it would have put a little bit of a damper on the day. You know what I mean? Yeah,
and again, not as extreme as I do now, I think. Like I was a little
but
more
if
like,
you had
oh,
a feeling of like, I don't.
Yeah.
Then yeah, that would definitely put a little bit of like, just
well that
inauthenticity on
exactly the day. And between that and then recently we're talking about like, oh, does everything happen for a reason? And I feel like my energy that day of talking about, oh, does everything happen for a reason, was like kind of negative, where I was like, guys, we can't keep saying that to people. Like, and that's all just completely from my perception, but basically the point is I feel like I've been almost like a downer lately in this way where I'm like, nothing's real. I don't know what's happening. No, nothing happens for a reason. Like, and it's just because I've lost so much comfort in what I use. What I used to find comfort in is no longer comfortable to me at all. It offers me no relief, no peace, no comfort.
Yeah.
So that's like,
so where do I go?
Yeah. So it's like, okay, I have to go within, but that it's just hard. It's just, it's like a hard thing to do.
No, it's very true. Dang. Oh, no. I'm sorry. It is. It's very scary. I feel like it's even scarier because you also know there's like nothing that's going to reassure you. So you want so badly for someone to tell you like, this is going to make you feel better and this is the answer and like this will make you, you'll never doubt anything again. But it's just, at least for me, I just know that I will always be questioning things. And then it's like I have no choice but to know that I will never be reassured about it. And something Abby always talks about with OCD is like she has, I mean, I'm not going to like speak for her, but paraphrase, like she's had existential OCD, which is like that to the extreme, constantly thinking about it, especially in religious places. And something that her therapist, like she's learned through therapy, is like, reassurance is the worst thing to do actually for that, is when you're having those things, is to just tell yourself like, no, that will never happen. This is exactly how it is. It's like, that does not, because we are these complex humans with these like complex thoughts patterns, that is not good for us to have this reassurance constantly. And when you have anxiety about something, you're always looking for reassurance. You're like Googling. That's why I Google everything. I'm like trying to find like, I just want to make sure that this is okay. And I think you just get to a point where it's like, but I feel like that I've been there before where it's like that exact, oh my gosh, I know nothing. And like, this is scaring me so bad. Like, I feel so alone in this, like quite literally in this universe. Like, I don't know. Like, I can't go to anybody for answers. And because there is nothing that will answer it is...
No, nothing helps. And to that point, though, I think that's like, like you said, the constant reassurance isn't even necessarily good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's how I feel now about my religious upbringing, is that I was constantly reassured.
Yeah.
So my entire upbringing is, oh, we have answers for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you're questioning, there's an answer for it. It doesn't matter. You don't need to be sad because, you know, when people die, you're going to see them immediately again. You're going to be with your family forever. It doesn't matter. Like, and it kind of, in a way, it stops depth of thoughts and feelings because it's like, oh, I don't even need to consider that. It's way more comfortable because it's like, I don't even need to
go there
in my mind of like, oh, what's going to happen here? It's like, no. I just know everything's going to be great. And it's so comfortable. And so to be told that your entire life, that you have literally all the answers, you know, the truth of basically everything, all you have to do is just have faith. You have the truth. You know it all.
Yeah.
And then to just kind of come to the belief or the realization that you don't think that way anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, it's terrifying. It is terrifying.
It is. And it's like the contrast. Like some of my friends who didn't grow up religious at all, like they don't have, I mean, I don't want to I'm sure they have their own existential thoughts, but like, I don't feel like they struggle in this same way because they've never had the quote unquote answers.
Well, they might
had to do this.
Exactly. That's the thing, is you have to go through it. There's no other way around it. You have to go through it in order to get out of it. And so, and not that you get out of it forever. I feel like, and I don't know exactly how you felt, but I definitely felt probably like a year ago, the exact same way that you're feeling, like just like debilitated, honestly.
Literally
like where
unwell.
It's like, yeah, just very negative about everything. And like, especially that where it's just like, I feel defeated. I feel so lost. I feel so like, whatever. And not that I don't feel lost now, but I feel like, honestly, Abby's helped me a ton with this, like with the reassurance stuff is like, you just don't know. And like, you have to, once you understand that you will never know, it's the most terrifying thing to go through. But once you go through it, it gets easier and easier to like, yeah, I just don't know. And like, you get almost used to it in mm-hmm. a way. And I think a lot of people, especially if you do grow up in a way where you do think you know everything and like everything's already, you don't have to do the work on your own. Like, like
mentally,
internally. Yeah, mentally.
Yeah.
I think you are constantly looking for some reassurance in anything else. It's mm-hmm. like, okay, yeah, you leave one religion, you maybe go to another one or you
totally.
Go to, you know, other little things, even books that will tell you like, this is how it is, this is how it is. And I think I do that a lot with like self-help books. Like I'll like look for like, okay, tell me like, give me some kind of reassurance that everything's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And the reason I even was talking about the Untethered Soul is because he doesn't do that at all. Like, it's not like everything's going to be okay. It's literally the opposite. It's like, you don't know. No one knows. Like, and the last chapter is all about death. And I got to that chapter, I think I told you this, and I was like, oh, God, this is what I've been having. Ever since I had Case, like, this is what I've been having the most anxiety about. It's just death in general. And the questions that surround it and kind of what we're talking about, like, why do these things happen? And I was like, oh, he's going to tell me the answers. Like, I'm going to get an answer in this chapter. And the first one was like, we don't know anything about it and we never will. And basically he was saying, which was a little comforting, was like, these things that are so scary about life and the end of everything makes what we do enjoy and what makes us do feel comfortable, these things like so much more enjoyable is because these scary things do exist. And there are no answers to them. And you just have to deal with that. And that's how it is. And I was very disappointed. I'm like, no, I wanted like you to tell me everything was going to be okay. Tell me an answer. And after I finished, I was like, okay, I'm feeling very uneasy, but I feel like it's helped me just kind of like cope with it a little bit and just kind of move on. Cause it's like, we have no other choice besides just
totally
keep living, unfortunately.
And it's hard because I feel like I don't like to talk about, well, I go in and out of phases, but a lot of times I just don't like to talk about religion, like publicly,
yeah.
publicly specifically, because I don't want, I don't know. It's just
also don't
such a
make-
touchy thing. And I don't want religious people to be listening to me like, oh, wow, you don't think that what I'm doing. Like, I don't feel that way. I don't care what anyone else does. Like, I feel like everyone just wants to feel comfortable, wants to feel happy. We're all looking for like the framework that works for us, that makes us feel like
yeah.
at peace. So I don't care at all if someone is religious and it's like, that's your thing, do your thing. It's just, yeah, I guess with the experiences I've had growing up, it's like that just doesn't work for me right now. And it's
yeah,
like it's honestly, I'm annoyed that it doesn't work for me because I wish it just did. Like sometimes I'm just like, oh, that feels like it would be so much better and less mentally taxing
yeah.
to just kind of, but I'm obviously, I can't go back to that.
Yeah.
I'm too far, not too far gone, but it's like I've,
yeah,
you, know what
far
I,
gone.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. 100%.
I'm on this journey and like,
I also just don't even like it, because we don't know where anybody is. It's one thing for me to talk about with people that I like, know and care about in person, but to just be like sounding it out to anybody and not knowing where anybody is at is like, I don't want to influence anybody
exactly.
to like have existential crisis today. It's like, I don't want to, but you know, it is what
exactly.
it is. So
it is what it is. I was not planning on going on that tangent, but here we are.
It was on your mind.
It was.
I'm like, I have an answer for you. Read this book.
Literally.
No, but you know, I'm sorry I've been feeling like that.
It's fine. It's It's okay. You know, interestingly enough, I feel like I was the opposite. Like, I feel like I, not like figured it out by any means, but I feel like 6 months to a year ago, probably like a year ago, I was super confident in just everything, how I felt about everything. I remember just being like, I don't know anything and I don't care that I don't know anything. Like, I find comfort in that. I feel so confident in where I'm at. I don't literally care what a single person thinks about any of it.
Yeah.
I feel so good. I know I'm on the right path. And then I just, this is, it's almost like that thing where you just expect to be on this uphill trajectory. And like the second you're knocked down at all, you're like, what the F? And it's not, this feeling that I'm feeling recently isn't like, oh no, like, should I go back to religion? Like, I made the wrong choice. It's not that at all. It's just like, oh wow. Now I didn't account for, what are the new beliefs?
Yeah.
What am I now finding comfort in?
Exactly.
Nothing amazing.
No, exactly. And I think it's going to happen for the rest of our lives. So
awesome.
I think it happens with everyone for the rest of their lives. Like, they think you have everything figured out. You feel good for a while and then something else comes up and then you have to deal with that. And that's also kind of what he talks about in the book. It's like, you just have to know that you just have yourself and there will be extremely difficult things happening in your life and you will go through them. And you just have to. But that's the only thing, is you have to go through it. And there's no answers to how, when, why, but you just have to go through it.
There's no shortcuts.
Yeah.
Awesome. I know.
Awesome.
I agree. Last question. Yeah. Do you think aliens are real?
How could they not be real?
Of course.
I don't want them coming anywhere near Earth. Absolutely not. After seeing Signs, that's my biggest freaking fear. But
I don't think the aliens are what we think they are, though.
They're probably worse. But I don't think they're like, I think there's lots of different aliens.
Same.
I don't think there's just one kind of alien, but I do think there are probably, you know, aliens that would look at us like pests.
Interesting.
Where it's like, do we look at spiders and like, they have a family, like, let's leave them alone and leave their planet. No, we literally like build a home on their home and destroy them.
So you think there's some aliens that are like huge?
Maybe not huge, but more powerful than us.
I think it is just, it's crazy to assume we are the only life form. No, literally, they're going to be like, wasn't expecting to
be scared of aliens taking over my planet.
Be scared of, have existential dread leaving that.
If the universe is as big as everyone says it is, there's aliens.
Yeah, there has to be. It's crazy to think we are the only life form
ever
in the universe, in the galaxies. No, come on. There's got to be aliens. I just hope we live to see the day where we see one.
Oh, I hope not.
Why?
I hope they're dead.
They could be so sweet.
If they're sweet.
I don't know if they're evil. I don't think they're evil.
I don't think they're evil. That's what I'm saying. I think they just are like us with maybe, they don't consider us.
Okay. So they're just like, they're fine to destroy.
They could just capture us and keep us enslaved.
Oh, wow.
Like, what if we are dogs to them? They just put us in, they kennel train us.
Yeah, I guess I hadn't thought about the reverse, like them having more power, like way more power than us.
Oh, yeah. Maybe if they're cute little like friends, they come down, visit, share some intelligence.
Yeah.
That's sweet. That's what it will happen.
That's what it is, guys. Don't worry. We don't have any fears.
There are only nice aliens out there.
Well, that was quite
the deep dive.
The episode, the deep dive on the 8 passengers, talking about existential crisis and aliens. Well, we didn't know, but that's what you're getting today.
Yep.
I hope you guys have a wonderful week. And if we have merch still left available, it will be linked in the show notes. I think we potentially have some Valley Girl shirts and maybe mugs left, but the baby tees have been sold out for a little bit. With all of our merch, you guys, it's like, once it's gone, it's gone. We don't re-release merch. So if you ever want it, make sure you get it close to when we launch it. And we're working on fall merch. So stay tuned for that. We love you guys so, so much. And
that's what we said.
Bye.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.